Today, on The Journey.
Sometimes we have experiences where we say we could not be closer to Christ. And sometimes we have some bad stretches. When Jesus comes and asks us again, do you really love me?
What do you do when you've set aside the faith you long held dear? How do you repair a commitment to Christ that has crumbled under the stresses of life? Ron Moore talks about that on today's program by recalling the example of one whose renewed faith changed the world. Also, please note our offer of Ron's book study titled Romans. There he makes the foundational truths of the Christian faith understandable and clear. Romans is available as a digital download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Challenge, On the Journey.
We've been involved in a series called Following the Leader, and we have seen the resolve of Jesus. And we have seen the power of Jesus, not only to be raised from the dead, but to change our lives. And today, we want to see the challenge of Jesus. What would He challenge us to do? What is He challenging you to do? Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 21. And as you're finding that chapter, let me set the context. By this time, it is well known by the disciples that Jesus has been raised from the dead. The same person the disciples saw beaten and mocked and fastened to a cross with spikes, the one they saw breathe his last, the one they watched laid in a tomb, that same Jesus was alive. To this point, He has appeared to them two times. And on both occasions, the door was locked, and He just appeared in the room. And on both occasions, Jesus had showed them the nail prints in His hands, and He showed them the wound in His side to prove that He wasn't a ghost, He wasn't their imagination, but He was indeed physical, risen Lord. However, Jesus didn't stay with His disciples. His appearances were periodic. His first one was on Resurrection Sunday, the evening of that day. Then a week passed, and He appeared to them again. And now another period has gone by. We don't know how long the period was, but seven of the disciples are together, and one of them, Peter, got antsy. Look at chapter 21, verse 3. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. We can only assume that Peter, the outspoken disciple, just got a little crazy being cooped up. He said, I want to get out of here. And besides, I'm getting hungry. Let's go catch some fish, so we can have something to eat. However, their fishing experience was like my fishing experiences normally are. Look at the end of verse 3. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now they were about 100 yards out on the Sea of Galilee when they heard a person called to them. Because of the distance and possibly because of the early morning fog, they didn't recognize who it was. Look at verse 5. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And He said, throw your net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Perhaps it was the miracle of the catch, or perhaps the fog had lifted by this time, but it's John who recognizes that the person on the shore is none other than Jesus. And John says, it is the Lord. And Peter, without hesitation, jumped into the water and began to swim to the shore to see Jesus. He couldn't wait to get the net in the boat. He couldn't wait to turn the boat around. He is in the water and he is going to see Jesus. And once Peter and the rest of the disciples get to shore, the risen Lord had prepared breakfast for them. The third appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, and he cooked breakfast for seven hungry disciples. Now, it was after the breakfast that Jesus had a one-on-one conversation with Peter. The other disciples were there, and they were listening, but the conversation was between Peter and Christ. And Peter begins this intimate interaction with a very penetrating question. Look at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Can you imagine Jesus Christ looking you in the eyes and asking you that question? Do you truly love me more than these? More than these people? More than these things? Now, quite honestly, there was a bit of a bite to the question, and Peter knew it. Before the crucifixion, Jesus had told his disciples that every last one of them would run. And in Mark chapter 14, Peter, again, very outspoken, very impulsive, the leader of the 12, declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you." And all the others said the same. When it came time for the soldiers to come and arrest Jesus, you know what Peter did, don't you? He ran with the rest of them. Turn over to Luke chapter 22 and look at verse 54. Luke records, "Then seizing him, they led him astray," talking about Jesus, "and they took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance." Just mark that in your mind for a second. Peter followed at a distance. "But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.'" Look at verse 60. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And then look at verse 61. Can you imagine? The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and he wept bitterly. So do you hear the bite in the question? When Jesus asks, deafening silence with that crackling fire, he turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Now it's a humbled Peter who replies. The end of verse 15, "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." And then again in verse 16, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And in verse 17, the third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about it. But he had had a bad stretch in his spiritual journey. after making great boasts. If anyone else leaves you, I'll stay with you. They may run, but not me. He ran like the rest. And to make matters worse, he openly denied Jesus three times. And remember those words? As Jesus was on his way to the cross, Luke says, Peter followed at a distance. In our lives as Christians, there are times when we go through some bad stretches, spiritually speaking. There are times when we follow at a distance. We're called to follow the leader. We say, yes, Jesus, I love you. And yet, there are times when we are following and we can hardly see the leader ahead. Sometimes we have experiences where we say we could not be closer to Christ. And sometimes we have some bad stretches. And because of that, it's important that we take some time for renewal and commitment. When Jesus comes and asks us again, do you really love me? I think the first principle we can learn from this passage is this. When you follow the leader, there are needed times of recommitment and renewal. You're going to go through some bad stretches. There are going to be times when you do not feel close to God. Just like if you're married, there are times in your marriage relationship you feel more connected, more in love than you do other times. That's just called life. But when we go through these bad stretches, there needs to be times of recommitment and renewal. And that's what's happening here, I believe, in the life of Peter. He has gone through a terrible time. He's denied Christ three times over. And Jesus has met him and said, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you. So, here's my challenge. Are you following at a distance? Are you in a bad stretch? You're a Christian, but you're following at a distance. I challenge you that this would be a time of recommitment and renewal. When he asks, do you really love me? If you're a Christian, it's time to say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know I love you. And here's my desire for recommitment and renewal. I want to demonstrate my love to you. There's a second thing I believe we learn from this encounter between Jesus and Peter. When you follow the leader, love is proven by action. Three times over, when Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you, Jesus says, then feed my lambs, Peter. Take care of my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter. If you truly love me, you will prove that you love me with these tangible acts of service. And just as Jesus demonstrated to us in the most vivid, tangible way that he loved us by going to a cross, so he asks us, if you love me, then prove it. If you love me, then demonstrate it. If you truly love me, then show your love in tangible ways. Now, I don't know the specific application for you when Jesus says, feed my lambs or feed my sheep. If you're married, it would be a nurturing relationship between a husband and wife. If you have children, certainly there would be clear application that you as a parent would need to feed them spiritually and nourish them spiritually and take care of them spiritually. Feed my lambs or sheep may be an interaction you need to have with family member or a friend or a neighbor, people at work or people at school. Maybe feeding lambs or feeding sheep for you would be service at the church. Maybe it's time you step up to a place of service, nursery or children or youth or adults or whatever. There are all kinds of opportunities. But the point, I believe, of this passage is love is proven by action. So here's my challenge. As you think of your love for Jesus, is your love for Jesus lip service or life service? Is it just something you talk about? Something you just sing about? Or is it something you do? Is it life service? You demonstrate, you prove your love for Christ by tangible acts of love. One more lesson I believe we learn from this conversation with Jesus and Peter. Look at verse 18. After the third question, do you love me? And the third response, you know I do. And the third prove it response, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But Peter, you got to know this, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And then John says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then Jesus said to him, follow me. Jesus was telling Peter, you're going to stretch out your hands and you're going to go where you don't want to go. He was telling Peter that he was going to be crucified. It's not in Scripture, but church history says that Peter was indeed crucified and didn't believe that he could have the honor of being crucified upright like Jesus. And so he asked that he was crucified upside down in order to glorify God in that way. But here Jesus said, Peter, follow me. Now, look how Peter responds in verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, the writer of this gospel, was following them. John was walking behind them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and asked him, Lord, who's going to betray you? Look at verse 21. When Peter saw him, he said, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Here's the third point. When you follow the leader, your eyes are focused on Jesus, not on the people or things around you. When we get our eyes off Christ and compare ourselves with others, we can say, what about them? And Jesus says, I'll take care of them. You just follow me. I don't know about you, but when I start looking at other people and my vocation, I can get jealous. I can become envious. I can become really critical and even discouraged. Kind of childish, isn't it? But that's what happens when you look at other people and say, hey, Lord, what about them? You do it? In business, hey, Lord, I'm trying to run a business on biblical principles. Why does that place always prosper? The pagan runs that one. Why does he prosper? And Jesus says, hey, you don't worry about him. You just follow me. Why do I have issues with my children and they don't seem to? Jesus, don't worry about that. I'm teaching you some things. You just follow me. Why does illness always seem to hit our family, but that family never seems to have a cold? Jesus says, don't worry about it. You just follow me. We do that in church all the time, don't we? Hey, Jesus, what about them? They raised their hands during worship. You can't truly worship when you raise your hands, can you? And Jesus says, don't worry about them. You just keep your focus on me. Hey, Jesus, what about them? They brought a cup of coffee into the worship service. And you know, a person can't truly worship holding a cup of coffee. Hey, Jesus, what about them? Look at their house, or look at their cars, or look at them, look at the way they dress. What about them? We all do that, don't we? And Jesus says, don't worry about them. You follow me. Look again at verse 21. If I want John to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. Your assignment, whatever comes, is to follow the leader. Not other people, but to follow Jesus. And here's a challenge. Are your eyes on the leader or on other people? Because if they're on other people, you're always going to find someone ahead of you. Something you like about them that you don't like about yourself. Some place they are that you want to be. Something they have that you want. And you'll get critical and discouraged. And like Peter, you'll say, what about them? But Jesus says, get your eyes off them. Put your eyes on me. John 21, in early morning after breakfast, Jesus met with Peter. And his challenge was very clear. First, do you love me? Second, prove your love by action. And third, follow me.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Some have said that Paul's letter to the Romans is the Bible compressed into one book. Yet few believers understand its brilliance, color, and depth. Now, Ron Moore makes that easier with his study guide simply titled Romans. This diamond of the New Testament shaped the Protestant Reformation. Its worth is so great that countless Christians have staked their reputations, their lives, and their eternal destiny on its teaching. Learn why when you join Ron in his study of this foundational letter to the Christians of Rome. Romans is yours as an electronic download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Romans chapter 12 says this, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then later, Paul writes to the Corinthians, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This morning, we want to honor our fathers. And fathers, I want you to think about this. Fast forward. Your life is about over. You're surrounded by your children. And you're getting ready to leave this life and pass to life eternal. God's graciously given you some time to express some final words. You're going to need to be to the point, and this is not time for tangents. What's going to be your final message to those gathered around you? What are you going to tell your son as he or they look down upon you? What's it mean to be a man? What kind of father do you want them to be? Again, it's not time for memories now. These are the last words, the last message. What are you going to tell your daughters as they look upon you? What kind of man do you want them to marry and commit their lives to? These are your daughters. What will you tell your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law who are partnering with your children to raise your grandchildren? And if God would be so gracious, what words would you give your grandsons and granddaughters in that last moment? Today, I want us to consider the last words of a father who knew that death was imminent to his son. Final weighty words from David to Solomon. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. Let me read through this charge of David to his son, and then let's just go through the passage. There are four things we want to draw out of this passage this morning for fathers.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron's PDF study booklet, Romans. It's available for a donation of any amount when you visit us on the web at ronmoore.org. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.